Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 17th Chapter, Text 15, by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded in Nairobi, Kenya.
Gopi Jana Balabha Ivaradhari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
is far greater than that of the human being. The denizens are called deathless by imagination, although actually no one within the material universe is deathless. Mahan Parikshit challenges even such denizens of heaven if they torture the offenseless. This means that the state executive head must be as strong as Maharaj Parikshit so that he may be determined to punish the strongest offenders. It should be the principle of a state executive head that the offender of the code of God is always punished.
Om Ajna Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Milita Neena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sakitamina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Mitam Sha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinamandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwavanu Suti Devi Pranamami Haripriye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Akhyai Nasa. Anagas Viha Bhuteshu Yagaskin Nirankusha Arthasmi Bhujam Sakshat Amartyasyapi Sangadam. So Maharaj Parikshit is the speaker of this verse. And Maharaj Parikshit over here is addressing the innocent bull and cow. In the previous verses of this chapter, we have seen that King Parikshit was actually the emperor of the whole planet. Today you have so many countries, isn't it? And within each country, there are so many leaders. But then one in the Vedic days, there was only one principal ruler for the whole world. And then there were junior kings who owed their allegiance to the supreme king. So Parikshit Maharaj considered himself to be a representative of the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj came from a great family. He was known as Parikshit because he was constantly meditating on the Lord. When he was in the womb of his mother, there was a Brahmastra released by Aswatthama in the hopes that the child in the womb of Uttara would get killed. Uttara is the name of his mother. And the Lord responded to Uttara's prayers as she saw the Brahmastra heading towards her womb. And the Lord, who is in everyone's heart as a Paramatma, we discussed this last night, he just expanded himself and protected the child in the mother's womb. For a fraction of a second, Parikshit Maharaj had the opportunity to see the form of the Lord. And ever since that moment, he was constantly meditating on that form. And even when he came out of his mother's womb, he would be comparing every face that he saw to the face of what he saw in the mother's womb. He wanted to see, is this like what I saw in my mother's womb? So Parikshit means examiner. And he was constantly examining everyone's face to see how it looked. So King Parikshit was an idol king. An idol king considers the entire population to be his jurisdiction. Now today, if I was to ask you what's the population of Kenya, you'd say 30 million. Because in our population figures, we only include the human beings. But we don't include the animals. No one ever does a census how many animals there are in Kenya, do they? No one has a census of the animals they are in India. Because the animals are not considered worthy of protection. And amongst the animals, the most sacred are the cow and the bull. So according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the word praja, praja means population. So the word praja implies both the human beings and the animals. The animals are nothing but the less intelligent children of God. Just like in a household, if a father has many children, one child may be smarter than the other. Sometimes you may have a situation where one child is handicapped. We can't go to the parents and say, okay, let's kill this handicapped child. So similarly, animals are the less intelligent children of God, and they are also worthy of protection. And amongst the animals, the most sacred are the cow and the bull. So Parikshit Maharaj was traveling in his kingdom, just like you see the head of America, President Bush, he goes to different countries around the world. So Parikshit Maharaj was traveling around on this planet, and as he was traveling, wherever he would go, he would be received very, very warmly. Today, whenever somebody goes, somebody may welcome him warmly, but there's somebody welcoming him with red flags also. When President Bush came to India, he got a warm welcome from the government, but there were the communists who were demonstrating with red flags. Recently, the Chinese president went to America, so the government gave him a warm welcome, but the Chinese refugees gave him a red flag welcome. So, in any polls, no president wins by 100% majority. The president may get majority landslide, but it's never 100%. But in Parikshit's days, wherever he went, there was absolutely no opposition. He was being welcomed by people very, very warmly. And they would then sing praises of his ancestors, etc. So this was because King Parikshit was a worthy king. The Vedic system is spiritual monarchy. Not just monarchy, but spiritual monarchy. Spiritual monarchy means the head of state considers himself to be a representative of the Lord, and he protects the citizens, he cares for the citizens, and he's a guardian for the citizens. Today we have heads of state, but they don't care at all. for the citizens. They may give some nice slogan at election time, but they don't mean it, and the real goal is just to exploit the people. Is that right? That's all over the world. So, King Parikshit, as he was traveling, he saw that a personality, a sudra, disguised as a king, was actually harming a cow and a bull. The cow and the bull are the most important of the animals created by God. The cow represents the mother, the bull represents the father. The cow is meant to be protected. The cow gives us milk, which is the most perfect food. And if one can actually live just on milk, we have evidence that in the past, the great sages would live just off milk. Shukadeva Goswami would travel to the homes of different householders. A sannyasi may visit different householder homes, but the purpose is to purify them. So Shukadeva Goswami would travel to different householder homes, and he would stay in each house only as long as it took time to milk the cow. He would just live off milk, that's all. So there's so many sages who in the past have lived off milk. I remember a few years ago in America, the milk industry had an advertising campaign encouraging people to drink more milk. They were advertising the milk and saying, milk, the most complete food. So then when they want to sell milk, they'll praise milk. And what's the source of the milk? Namely the cow. But unfortunately, when the cow cannot give milk, it ends up in the slaughterhouse. So the milk is the most healthiest of all foods that one can consume. Even the mature scientists acknowledge that. And the cow gives us that milk. And what does the cow take in return? Just grass. You feed grass to the cow, and the output is milk. Just see, God's creation. All that the cow asks for is simple grass. It doesn't ask for samosas, kachoris, and all that. You know, you may have a big wish list of a diet. The cow, simple grass, and in turn it gives you milk. Not only does it give you milk, even the byproducts of the cow have immense value. Urine. Cow's urine is healthy for the body. Cow urine is a cure to so many diseases. And many of our ISKCON leaders who also take fresh cow's milk, cow's urine. It's very, very healthy for the body. Recently I saw a doctor in November or December. The doctor specialized in cow's urine medicines. He said that they were making 95 different medicines from cow's urine. 95 different types of medicines for different diseases just from cow's urine. It's amazing, isn't it? So cow's urine cures diseases. Then the stool of the cow. The stool of the cow, known as cow dung, is even purer than human stool. You flush away human stool, but you store cow stool. Cow stool contains antiseptic qualities. And cow stool is used for several purposes, including cooking. And the cow, when it dies a natural death, the skin can be used for making mridangas. You use cow skin only when it dies a natural death. Cow is giving us service from beginning to end. And the bull takes care of agriculture. These days, our scientists have invented the tractor. And what has happened where people are using tractors, even in India people use tractors, You don't use the bull. And so if they don't use the bull, they send them to the slaughterhouse. So the cow and the bull are meant to be protected by the head of state. The Vedic system is that a society must be divided into four varnas and four ashramas. Chaturvarna Maya system, guna karma, vibhaga saha. Society should be divided into four varnas and four ashramas. The four varnas are Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. And the four ashrams are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa. The Vaishya community, it is their business to protect the cow. And the Kshatriyas are supposed to do the administration, which includes protection of the weaker sections of society. But today what we have is the Sudras taking on the role of Kshatriyas. The Sudras, debauchees, with no knowledge of spiritual culture, they have assumed the position of kings, prime ministers, presidents, etc., isn't it? And they have no concept of protecting the cow and the bull. The Vaishyas, as Bhagavad Gita explains in the 18th chapter, are supposed to take care of farming, protection of the cows, agriculture, business. But today, the Vaishyas are also failing to discharge their duties. Kalo Sudra Samava. As it is said, by and large, everyone in this age. So the kings are not doing their duty, and the Vaishyas are not doing their duty. A few weeks ago, you celebrated Ram Nami, and in Lord Ramachandra's life, you see that when he returned to Ayodhya from exile, and when he started ruling over the planet with his capital based in Ayodhya, he was so concerned about the welfare of citizens that he would go in disguise and stand in front of people's houses to see if they have any complaints or not. This is the head of state's duty. So King Parikshit, he was traveling and he saw that a Sudra, a low-class man, disguised as a king, was hurting the leg of an innocent cow and a bull. So the cow, as we said, gives us so many valuable gifts. And the cow must be protected. That is the duty of the head of state. Today we see, even in India, such large scale killing of cows. They may have laws banning cow slaughter. Of course, there are two states in India that don't even have a law in Kerala banning cow slaughter. I was a few weeks ago in Kerala. We opened a new temple in Cochin. So I was in Kerala and they were telling me that even 80% of the Hindus in Kerala, they eat cows. You know, there's just widespread killing of cows. At least in some states they have a legal law. But in Kerala and Bengal, they don't even have a law protecting cows and banning cow slaughter. And the governments, they are making slaughterhouses so they can slaughter the cows and make money. I read a while ago that a lot of cows from India end up in Bangladesh through the Bengal border. So they were thinking they should make a modern slaughterhouse in Bengal so that they can save foreign exchange. They export the cows that eventually get slaughtered in Bangladesh. So better we slaughter them in Bengal and export the beef so that they make more money. They're so cruel, they don't understand that if the cow is not protected, then society will not be protected. Today we see the whole world heading towards disaster. It's just a matter of time before you have a major outbreak of war again. There are already so many mini wars already going on in society. We see society running short of natural resources. We see society, so many turbulences are now coming. Just like you had the tsunami, you had this big disaster in New Orleans in America, you had earthquakes in Gujarat and in India, etc. What causes these natural disasters? When these calamities happen, what do we say? Oh, God is so cruel. Why did God do the tsunami, isn't it? God is so cruel. Why is there drought? God is so cruel. Why is there earthquake? God is not cruel. God is all-merciful, compassionate. But the laws of nature are such that when you violate the laws of God, there will be calamities. That's the law of nature. Just like if a judge punishes a murderer to capital punishment, it doesn't mean the judge is cruel. The judge is just executing the laws of the state. So similarly, the laws of nature are such, when the cow is not protected, the bull is not protected, the religious principles are not enforced, then material nature retaliates and hits hard. So the laws of God have to be followed. Now King Parikshit, he was traveling and he saw that the bull and the cow were offenseless, honest, they were being attacked. And King Parikshit said that offenseless beings must be protected, and if the dishonest miscreants are not handled with thoroughly, then the innocent people automatically suffer. Just like in today's society, you see, the criminals are hardly dealt with. You may say that the prison houses are full, but the prison houses are full of small-time criminals. The big-time criminals or the professional criminals, they're not touched by society, they're not touched by the police force, because they all have a vested interest. And as a result, innocent people in society are also suffering, isn't it? So King Parikshit considered that now he must act. He must act to protect the cow and the bull, and he must take severe action on the culprit. So in today's verse, King Parikshit is saying, an upstart living being who commits offenses by torturing those who are offenseless shall be uprooted by me. So King Parikshit is saying that a crook who is torturing innocent people, he will be dealt with very severely by the king. The Manu Samhita gives us very strict laws. And the Manu Samhita says that if a criminal is not punished, then he has to take on far more suffering in his future births. For example, a murderer. A murderer must be hanged. Because if a murderer is not hanged, if he doesn't face the punishment in this life, then in future, the punishment will be far more severe. So King Parikshit here is giving us an example of the mentality of the head of state. The head of state must be God conscious. Prabhupada said, this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita is for the saintly kings. Krishna says in the fourth chapter, Ivam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajasavidu. This knowledge came down through the saintly kings. It came to Vivaswan, then Manu, the father of mankind, and gradually came to King Ikshvaku. King Ikshvaku was the ruler of the planet who ruled at the commencement of Treta Yuga, and later on Lord Ram appeared in his dynasty. So the head of state must be educated in God consciousness. And if the head of state is educated in God consciousness, then he will act like King Parikshit is acting. So King Parikshit here is saying, anyone who commits an offense by torturing an offenseless person shall be dealt with very thoroughly by me, even if it is a denizen of heaven who may be considered to be deathless. Now actually, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, nobody is deathless, isn't it? Even Lord Brahma is not deathless. Even when Hiranyakashipu approached Brahma for a benediction that he may never have to die, Brahma clearly told him, I can't give you that benediction, even I have to die. Brahma's duration of life is also limited. Now, from our material angle, it appears unlimited. Brahma lives for 311 trillion and 40 billion years. Can you calculate that? 311 trillion, 40 billion of our early years. And then Brahma also has to die. So here King Parikshit is saying that even if you are a denizen of heaven, now Prabhupada explains that the denizens of heaven are sometimes called amara or deathless. Now this doesn't mean that they never die. It just means that they have a very long duration of life. 6 months of our earthly planet is equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planets. So one day of year is equal to their 24 hours. That's all. So you can see that the denizens of heaven have a long duration of life, but eventually even they have to die. So what King Parikshit is saying is, that even if you are a denizen of heaven, even if you are considered to be deathless, if you punish, if you misbehave with an innocent creature, then I am going to punish you. So the point is, the head of state must be so bold that a culprit is brought to action. Today, everybody all over the world talks about corruption, etc., immorality. Corruption is there because nobody's ever punished. Nobody's punished. The head of state, the crook, the politicians are not punished, the police is not punished, nobody's punished. So corruption goes on. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a description of the hellish planets. There's a description of the heavenly planets and hellish planets. There are 28 hellish planets, and there are different types of punishment for different types of crime. It's not that the judge sentences everyone equally, is that right? The judge gives different sentence based on the crime you've committed. If you have a parking violation, you may get a ticket of a few shillings. If you murdered someone, then you're liable to a heavier punishment. So similarly, there are different hellish planets for different crimes. And for example, if you're the head of state and you don't discharge your duties in a responsible manner, as it is being explained in the pages of the Bhagavatam, then after death, you have to go to a planet where you are squeezed through a machine, just like a sugar cane is squeezed through a machine. You know, sugar cane, pre-extract juice, you put it through a machine, and then the juice comes out. So that's the time of punishment that awaits those who get elected to a governmental position or a position of responsibility and do not discharge it properly. The Bhagavatam says, if you're a father or a mother and you don't discharge your duty in educating them spiritually, you become liable. If you're a guru and you don't give a disciple proper instruction, you become liable. If you're a political head and you don't give proper guidance, then you become responsible. King Parikshit is making it clear that because this personality, this guise of the king, is misbehaving and misusing his position, therefore he is liable for punishment. So we must protect the cow and the bull. And the cow lives in an atmosphere of fear. You go in, touch the cow runs away. We have experience in our ISKCON Goshalas that when the cows were first brought into our Goshala, they were so scared. Anyone who would approach them, they would run away because they live in that fear. But then when they saw the devotees were very loving, they would come and pat them, and there was no threat to their life. Then they started responding in a friendly manner. But initially, because they live in an atmosphere of fear, it's not that the animals don't have fear. The animal, when he sees that someone's trying to kill him, or he runs for his life. You lift a stick and the dog runs away, isn't it? You stand there and the cow runs and the cat runs away. You throw sugar, the ants will come running towards the sugar. But the moment they see there's someone there with a hand or with your body, they'll turn around and run away. So the animals are also endeavoring for protection when they see fear to their lives. This is the law of nature. And in the cow and the bull, today, they are living in an atmosphere of fear. Because the cows are being slaughtered and the bulls are being slaughtered. They're being slaughtered because the heads of state are not recognizing that animals are the less intelligent children of God. They're being slaughtered because we don't recognize the paramount importance of these two animals. So the cow and the bull should be protected. And if the cow and the bull is protected, then what happens? Then society is peaceful. Then society is prosperous. Then material nature will cooperate with you. Just like we see in the prayers of Queen Kunti. She says, how the rivers are full of water. The earth is full of grains. The trees are full of fruits. Why? Because of your merciful glance. Because the Supreme Lord was being merciful. Why? Because the entire population was God conscious. In Bhagavatam you read that there was once a demonic ruler called King Vena. King Vena was very arrogant, proud. He considered that he was equal to Vishnu. So he stopped the brahmanas from doing their sacrifices. He stopped all religious rituals and he called the brahmanas prostitutes. He said, I am taking care of you, and instead of worshipping me, you're worshipping Vishnu. So as a result, material nature went on strike. The rivers became dry. Like today you see the rivers are turning dry. In Guru India, you see the water levels are extremely low level. Now in some parts like UP, even if you dig 300 feet, there's no water. And whereas previously you get water at 50 feet digging. The rivers are turning dry, the oceans are turning dry, the grain, the earth is not producing enough grains, etc. So all this is happening because of demonic tendencies. So King Vena eventually was cursed, he died, and his son Prithu became the king. So when King Prithu became the king, he at once instructed the citizens to glorify the Supreme Lord. And as the Supreme Lord was glorified, the necessities of life became available. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Annad Bhavanti Bhutani Prajan Anna Sambhava. Krishna says, food grains come as a result of rainfall. Rainfall comes as a result of religious sacrifice. So if there's no religious sacrifice, there's no yajna, then there's no rainfall. And when there's no rainfall, there's no agriculture. You can have the best fertilizers of the world. You can have the best seeds of the world. If there's no water, will it fructify? No. There's no technology in the world that you can have agriculture production without water. Water in the form of rain, water in the form of irrigation facility, water to the medium of dams. One of these mediums is necessary if you want agriculture, is that right? And if you want rain, you must perform sacrifice. In the famous story of Govardhan Puja, Govardhan Hill, Krishna as a young child went to his father Nand Maharaj and said, "What is the sacrifice you're doing?" Nand Maharaj was a farmer. And even 5,000 years ago, Nand Maharaj, as an idle farmer, he knew farmers can only succeed if there's rainfall. And to get rainfall, we should worship Indra. He was doing Indra Yajna. So Nand Maharaj thought that my young child will not be able to understand what am I doing. So he kept quiet. Then the young son insisted, and then the father said, "Son, we are farmers who are heavily dependent on rainfall, and there's a sacrifice being done for the pleasure of Indra, so that Indra will reciprocate and give us rainfall." So to summarize this verse, King Parikshit is making a very bold statement that somebody who commits an offense by torturing an innocent person must be punished. And if he's not punished, then the head of state takes on the reaction. When you kill an animal, several people get the karma. The person who kills, naturally. The person who eats, naturally. The person who transports, naturally. The person who sells, naturally. And the person who gives permission to kill, he also gets the karma. So you can be, if you're giving permission to the slaughterhouses to exist, then you also take on the share of karma. You know, sometimes you see Hindu vegetarians running meat restaurants. You know, I've seen that many times. He's a vegetarian, but his sikh sahib is running away of a meat restaurant. So I often tell them, "You're taking on the karma." I said, "No, I don't eat, I don't cook. It's just my managers who do it." So your manager may do it, but he still take on the karma. The person who sells, the person who transfers, the five, it's a gang of five that gets a punishment for innocently killing animals. So to summarize the verse in purport, Parikshit is pointing out that even if you are deathless, a resident of the heavenly planets, still if you misuse your position and try to punish the innocent, then he must face punishment. So that is real compassion. Real compassion is not when somebody's on the wrong path, you just blow over the boil and let him continue with what is wrong. Once Prabhupada was giving a lecture and he said, "No," Prabhupada would use a little strong language sometimes, like fools, rascals, this, this. The Bhagavad Gita also uses the word Mura, which means fool and rascal. So there was an American lady in the audience that said, Swami, should not you speak so strongly. So naturally, a sadhu has to speak the truth. It's not that when we preach God consciousness, we give the people a watered-down philosophy so that they will accept it. We give the truth. But of course, we should give the truth in a palatable way so that the truth can be digested. If we give the truth in a harsh way, it may be hard to digest. But if you give the truth in a palatable way, it may be more easily acceptable. But the principle of truth remains. So Parikshit Maharaj here is giving the example of what a truthful head of state should be. And by reading the Bhagavatam, we understand the duties of the head of state, we understand the duties of the praja, and we understand how people can be happy and prosperous. Hare Krishna.